Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. We'll get back to your calls here in a second. 888-808-1019. So Jeff Passan has an update here on the latest with free agency, and he spoke about Pete Alonso. You ready for this one, BT?
Sure.
Teams are, quote, hesitant to give Alonso a long-term deal. Teams see great value in adding Alonso for the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off two down years, he'd be entering his age 30 season. Mets reportedly offered on the 7-year $158 million. We knew about that. Stearns and Cohen have repeatedly said that the Mets hope to retain Alonso. Along with the Mets, the Yankees have been connected, but he would seem like a weird fit there. Okay, point is, though, that Passan is reporting that teams are hesitant to give a long-term deal, but they do see great value in a short-term for Pete Alonso, which makes sense. It's everything that we've talked about, specifically you, talking about like his body type and where you value all that, whatever. Yep. I don't think the Yankees are going to get him. And by the way, on this note, I heard Boomer and Gio talking about it with Alonso. Would it bother Met fans? Or this would be a shot for Cashman to fire against Met fans? I'll tell you, as a Met fan, it would not bother me one bit if the Yankees signed Pete Alonso. I don't care. If the Mets want him back, they're going to get him. And to me, he's not a good fit with the Yankees, so it wouldn't bother me one bit. But I think his power would play over the next 3 years for either team. Problem is, would you commit much more than that?
No, there's no way I would. I mean, listen, if I was a general manager, I would look at his profile as... No disrespect, the most unappealing profile really out there in baseball. A right-handed hitting, aging, non-athletic first baseman with declining numbers. No thanks. Now, if you give me 2 years with a team option, I know he's going to bang 35, 40 bombs. I don't have any doubt about that. And listen, if he went to right field more, he's gotten away from that, ironically, outside of the big home run. Well, actually, more than one in the postseason.
He used to be a really...
I know.
One of the values...
I know.
One of the reasons why I love Pete was not just his power. He would hit with average. Like, for a power, he'd hit 260.
Yep. That was terrific. He'll take 260 every... If he was a 260 hitter, I would tell the Yankees to sign him.
Correct.
I really would. Like, the interesting thing about having somebody's batting average drop, right... It generally drops for one of two reasons. You either lose bat speed, which I don't necessarily think is the case, or three things. Bat speed, or your vision starts to curtail a bit, which I don't think is the case either, or you become a little bit too pull happy for whatever reason, and you really just abandon your mechanics. And when you pull the baseball, there's obviously like this, just imagine this, like your front shoulder, say as the lefty, kind of going to the first base dugout, your hips fire, all the things firing to generate that direction to pull the baseball. And when you do that, what happens? Well, I'm just going to feed you sliders outside all day, and you're not going to touch them because you're trying to jack everything to, in the example of a righty, of a lefty hitter, to right field. So I don't think I've ever said this about Pete because I'm really not interested in signing Pete, but I wonder if there's a renewed commitment to using the entire field. if these last 2 years can go in the file of anomalies. I don't know.
Okay, well,
batting average wise,
let's throw 2020 out the window. His first year, his rookie year, burst on the scene. 53 homers, 120 ribbies. He hit 260.
It's terrific.
That is exactly. Okay, we're going to throw out the pandemic
amazing
year. Right?
What were the numbers again, just so I see?
53 homers, 120.
No, in the pandemic year. I'm just curious. I want to do like some proration here.
16.
In how many games? 50?
57.
All right, so 32, 48.
16 homers, yeah. 35 ribbies.
What was the OPS?
817.
And what was the average again?
231.
Okay, so that was a drop, but it was early.
He had a down
okay
year.
Okay, go ahead.
I remember watching thinking,
me too.
He's not the same player.
Okay.
Following year. 37 homers, 94 ribbies. This is 2021 now.
Mm-hmm.
262.
262 all day.
You
yep
take it all day.
All day.
OPS 863.
Very good.
Okay. Following year, 40, 131, 271.
That's amazing.
OPS 869.
That should be top three MVP stuff if you have a good team.
Yeah, played 160 games.
Yep.
That's what we're
how
talking
about. How many strikeouts
about
that year?
110? 128.
All right, you know,
yeah,
not great, but yeah, I mean, I've seen worse. But still, a really good year.
The fact that you hit 271.
Terrific.
And an OPS of 869, 40 and 131, that's like Piazza-like to me. Obviously, Piazza would hit 330, but
at the time.
That's the impact star power bat that you want.
And by the way, the fact that he had some other 260s tells me that the 270 is more that he's learning the league, he's maturing.
Correct.
It's not like, oh, wow, 270 out of nowhere. Keep going.
So, right, that's the point.
Yeah,
it wasn't
that.
Like, if you throw out the pandemic year, 260, 262, 271.
Very consistent.
Correct. Now you're talking. And the home run's consistent, too.
No doubt.
53, 37, 40. Okay.
And he's become a better fielder since then.
Right. Next year, 46 homers. Now, these were empty homers and ribbies because the Mets were a bad team in 2023, but still, 46, 118, but he hit 217.
That was bad.
Like, you go from, not from 250 to 240 to 220.
Mm-hmm.
You go from 260 to 270 to 217.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Yeah, and I remember what I said about that. I'm like, I'm prepared to say that this is the outlier, but for the contract season, he can't do this again because then that's who you are.
So he gained 6 homers,
yep,
but lost 60 points, or whatever, 50-plus points in his batting average.
Mm-hmm.
Then last year, okay, now you want to say, hey, maybe that's the aberration.
Yeah.
Last year, 34 88, which is light for both.
Yes.
Especially when you factor in 240.
And especially when you factor in Lindor was in front of him
yeah
for the last couple of months, and Lindor was always on base.
Oh, and by the way, the worst OPS by far of his career.
7 what?
788.
Yeah.
Prior to that, BT, 941,
amazing.
817,
good.
863.
Very good.
869.
Very good.
821.
Good.
788.
Not good.
So the last two, and now the one thing that's consistent is the power.
Yep.
But if you had a drop off in the power where you did for a total of 12 home runs from 2023 to 2024,
mm-hmm,
you would think the average would go up a lot. It did go up.
Yes.
It did go up a little bit, but not enough to just, like, from 217 to 240, I'd rather have the 12 homers.
I would think, you know, I'm looking, I had to look at this, right? So in 2019, as you're running through stuff
yeah
here, and 2019, I'm looking at, and there's too many to count, I'm guessing just based on the red dots in front of me, that at least 20 home runs that he hit that year are to dead straight center, right center, and one down the right field line. That's 2019.
Right.
So you're seeing an ability to go deep up the middle and deep to yeah the other way. All right, now it goes to 2020. And I'm looking at a spray chart. That was the pin.
Yeah,
I'm going to
yeah
skip that. All right, 2021. Let's see. 2021, he becomes far more pull happy, and it goes from 20 something, you know, in 2019 to 1, 2, 3, 4 from center field to right field. That's a big drop. Now you go to 2022. And 2022,
which was statistically, well, I guess his second best year, because probably his rookie year is still the best.
Yep. Now from 2022, there's now a trend here, Sal. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Only 7 home runs hit from center field to the right field foul pole. Now you go to 2023. And now there are, now he's kind of back to where he was a little earlier on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. About 13, not quite.
Which is interesting.
But definitely a step back in the right direction.
But the average way down, which is interesting. Okay, go ahead.
And the last one, and I just know by watching him that he didn't hit many to right field. I'm just waiting for this to load here. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 6. Six from center field to the right field foul pole. So why the inconsistencies?
Correct.
That is attributable to a stark decrease in batting average.
So there's no way any team can justify committing to Pete Alonso long term.
No.
Two reasons.
And nobody's going to, Sal.
Two reasons. One, because of his inconsistencies. Two, because of his age. He's now entering age 30, meaning he still could be in his prime, sure, but if you're talking about 5 to 7 years?
Yeah.
No way.
Well, the other problem that Pete has now I'm not saying that all these guys are better than him, although some of them certainly, I think Christian Walker's better, but the first base market, which has been fairly depressed for a while, is actually kind of robust here. And it's robust in the sense that you can get guys on multi-year deals that are appealing, like Walker, say three years. Pete could get 3 or 4. You could trade for Naylor. You can wait, and you could kick the tires on Vlad Guerrero next year.
Doing. That's the home run.
I know. A lot of Met fans are saying that, and I understand that. There's a couple of other patchworks.
He's going to be, where is he at now?
Vlad, he's 27?
He's going to be 26 this year.
He's young still.
Right. So you'll get him for his year 27 in free agency.
Can I say one thing about Vlad? And I would love him for the Yankees, and I would love him for the Mets, big pay, if they traded or whatever. Let's also say this about Vlad Guerrero. Vlad's a little overrated. I mean, people talk about Vlad Guerrero like he's the next coming of, like, Clemente or Jimmy Fox or Miguel Cabrera. He's not quite that.
Let me just hit you with some numbers quick, because I'm with you. Watching him when I watch him against the Yankees a lot of the time, I'm like, eh.
I know,
but, all right, his best year, 2021, we'll go from there. He's been an All-Star 4 years in a row. 48, 111.
Mm-hmm. What's the OPS, though?
311, OPS over 1,000.
All right, that is
freaking
big. That's
amazing.
That's
Hall of Fame. Type year. Okay, right. Following year, 32, 97, 274, OPS of 818.
That's a big drop.
All right. But
it's a big drop.
But still, I mean, you take that. Now, 26, 94, 264, another little bit of a drop. OPS, 788. Now you've dropped significantly. Okay, right. Then last year, back up again. 30, 103. He hit 323.
That's a big number.
In 159 games. Like, dude, 323, what is this, 1995? Like,
well, Judge hit 322.
And I understand.
There's not many guys are doing
that. Which makes him so valuable.
Yeah.
And he had 940 OPS.
Yeah.
Like, Vlad last year, dude, 323 batting average and 30 homers and 100 ribbies. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but he played. No, listen, he's amazing. But I'm just trying to differentiate between, like, all-time amazing and just amazing.
Well,
in that all-time.
In comparison to Walker, and plus he's still a young player.
I understand that. But he's not in good shape. But how is it? If I'm worried about how Pete's going to age, what about Vlad Guerrero?
Understood, but Pete's 3 years older.
Yeah, but Vlad's 30 pounds heavier. And not good weight.
Maybe 4 years older.
Not good weight. Yeah. Like, Pete's like, I wish Pete had more muscle, but Pete is like, Pete's just a big country boy, Vlad, and I'm not trying to shame him.
I mean,
he just looks sloppy. He just does.
I understand that. So it's part of the investment or lack thereof long term. Me personally, I would go short term at first base. And let me be clear. I want Pete Alonso back to the Mets because I think he's the best bat available now to protect Juan Soto in that lineup. He's proven in New York. He's proven in the postseason. I think it'd be kind of a home run. Doesn't mean it's the greatest fit ever, but right now would be the home run, easiest thing. Just plug and play, keep Alonso at first base.
Okay.
But if you're projecting moving forward, the best thing probably would be to get Carlos Santana or Walker on a short-term deal and then go get Vlad after this season.
It makes sense. And that's something both the Mets and Yankees are wrestling with. That's tough
for the and for the Yankees on 100%, because I'm looking at it from a Mets perspective where there is some sentimental value and familiarity with Pete, where that does mean a little bit more. And
no
just
question,
that
it does.
It
should mean more.
And it's not me being home. Like,
no,
I'm not
it should
into that.
Mean more to Mets fans.
Right. I'm not even necessarily into that. I value, though, him having success here already.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be easier for him with the addition of Juan Soto in that lineup and maybe getting a contract too can take the pressure off.
Yeah.
So I could see that. But for the Yankees, there's no question what they should do. It should be Walker, and if not Walker, Santana. And then if they're really big boys, go hard next year after Vlad.
Yeah, and listen, you know I don't want Pete for the Yankees, but I want Pete Alonso to stay with the Mets. Like, I'm a little bit more into that sentimental stuff than you. He's a Met. Now, you don't do stupid business just because he's a Met, but he belongs in Queens.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.